And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, as we talk, we're in the weekend of Lincoln's birthday. Lincoln was born 213 years ago. And, of course, the Republicans look back on Lincoln as one of the great founders of their party, even though the party that Lincoln founded was a party devoted to equality, arose in opposition to slavery, and the party they're running is its absolute opposite, devoted to
Jim Crow.
Jim Crow, denying the history of the dominance of slavery and its effects. But the more important thing is the Republicans are imploding and they're undergoing a purge. They're purifying their party to make it the kind of racist, regressive, socially regressive, authoritarian party that the Southern Democrats were, against which the Republicans originally arose.
Yeah.
That's the big political process of our day, I think.
Yep, and in many ways, they are detached from reality on things. The individuals that have arisen in their ranks, the Marjorie Taylor Greens, the Lauren Boberts, the Madison Cawthorns, Matt Gaetzes, those folks are certainly way out there. And the way that they've acted in terms of purging people who have been loyal and devoted Republicans over the years, it's an amazing thing to see. I mean, it sort of was encapsulated last week when they censured both Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger for investigating the insurrection, the seditious actions leading up to the riots at the Capitol on January 6th, and the way they rebranded that effort as legitimate political discourse. Any party...
That's not your phrase, by the way. That's their phrase. That's what right. The Republican National Committee said January 6th was, legitimate political discourse. That's the quote.
After carefully writing the whole... it wasn't a bill. It was the whole declaration that they endorsed. I mean, this wasn't something that was just popped up from the floor at the meeting. This was something that was prepared in advance. And this is what they chose to label it.
But it's interesting. Let's look at that. If what they're saying legitimate political discourse is, in other words, extra-electoral, extra-parliamentary, extra-legislative.
Right.
It's direct mob action. Yeah. It's violent direct mob action. And they regard that as legitimate.
Yeah.
Okay, if that's legitimate, then why are strikes illegitimate? Every one of them are for making striking illegal and do what they can to guarantee that workers never can strike. Why are civil rights demonstrations in support of anti-racist goals illegal? Every one of them says that's illegal because it violates order. Why aren't they all legitimate political discourse?
Well, this used to be the party of law and order. Again, getting back to January 6th, when you saw these folks beating up on the police who represented law and order. So, again, they're redefining things and in a manner that's detached from reality. It's essentially only their way can prevail, the way they're defining it. You know, heads they win, tails everybody else loses. And
what if they win the argument? I mean, I think they will win the argument within the Republican Party. I don't think there's anybody within the Republican Party that can organize effectively against them. Everybody who tried was cast out of the party. That's what a purge is. So let's assume that they win the party completely, as they have in many states. Doesn't that resets the political rules? After all, there's no law that anybody can pass, Congress can pass, that says this is how you do politics. You do politics the way politics allows itself to be done. Now that's how they're going to do politics. What are the Democrats going to do? They're going to do the politics of what? 1920 instead of 2022? What rules will the Democrats follow in a situation where their voters can't get to the polls, their poll watchers can't count, can't watch the counting of the votes, they can't count the votes themselves, where the elections exist but are irrelevant because the determination of the winner is made before the election day ever comes?
Well, what you're describing is authoritarian neo-fascism.
That's what they, but isn't that what they stand for?
Pretty much at this, at this one group stands for.
But they're the group that's going to win, and the Republican leadership.
Yeah. And the rules that they follow are essentially anything that they think they can get away with.
That's right.
That's it. But only that applies to them.
But they control the courts.
Certainly they control the Supreme Court.
And Trump himself appointed a quarter of the sitting justices in all the appellate courts.
In the appellate courts. But the interesting thing is that they haven't been winning in the courts.
But how about this? What if the courts become irrelevant?
Well, that's a question. You know, you go back to Andrew Jackson, right? When he said, well, the Chief Justice has made his decision, now let him try to enforce it.
Exactly. That's the situation we have with Trump. Trump thumbs his nose at all the laws. He leaves office, he takes documents that are marked top secret with him.
Yeah.
People say, well, you shouldn't have done that. Well, what's the sanction? Oh, it turns out there is no sanction. So if there is no sanction, that means for them there are no courts.
Well, there can be a sanction if the Justice Department decides to pursue it in the courts. That's been a complaint that the Justice Department hasn't been doing things. And let me comment a little bit about the methodology of Trump, because it is somewhat unique in American political history. First of all, you have a personality that has this huge defect, this malignant narcissism and this strength of will that you see in other dictators. Again, I go back to the book Strong Men, that you've seen in Mussolini, you've seen it in Hitler, you've seen it in other places, in Chile, in Argentina, and Brazil, and what have you. But his methodology has been that he has no shame. He will do anything. He will never back down. And he will do so much of it that you can't keep up with it. There's so much there that you cannot, by the time you're addressing one thing, he's moved on to two or three others, and you just can't catch up, and it befuddles things. I had a lawyer that shared office space with, and he used to comment that when he went to court on a personal injury matter, that the more that he could show that the defendant did wrong, the harder it was for the jury to comprehend it. There was just so much there, they couldn't grasp the full weight of what was happening. And that's really the Trump's method, that you can't grasp onto any one thing. He just keeps going on to other stuff. And whether the courts will be able to grab him for one or two things remains to be seen. We see down in Georgia that the prosecutors are looking into what he did there when he tried to get 11,790 votes he asked for, and He may have done other things. You just mentioned this Presidential Records Act that he openly flaunted. And of course, these were things that he's made statements with regard to Hillary Clinton with her emails that would equally apply to him. If you apply his statements, he should be locked up. But of course, he will find some excuse, and his acolytes will find some excuse not to apply that to him. They will do everything to try to justify his actions, no matter how outrageous. And their
justification is real simple. You do it, so we're going to do it. And it's very difficult to say, well, no, we don't do it. But we're going to do it anyway. Now what?
Well, yeah. Well, now what? You go back to your question. What happens?
Yeah.
Because, if the Democrats want to use traditional methods, you're implying that they may not work.
They can't work. You can't fight the last war. The last war was already fought.
Well, do you have to fight fire with fire? Do you have to fight illegality with illegality? Do you have to fight it? Do you have to go off the grid on your side in order to stop him from going off the grid? And if you do, there's still no assurance that that'll be successful.
Well, let's take a concrete example. Suppose that you are a person concerned with fighting racism, and you discover that there's a lot of racism in various sections of society that has to be opposed. And one of the places that stands out to you because it affects you so strongly is in the administration of justice. And you say, well, the police are constantly acting in a racist way. They tell us that we are violating laws that we don't violate. We're not violating. They make up laws that they punish us for violating that don't, and these laws don't exist. We don't want that kind of policing. We have nothing against policing, but not that kind of policing. And we're going to demonstrate, because we don't control the government, we have nothing else we can do except demonstrate to say, do it differently. And who is it that's going to make sure that these demonstrations are done in a kosher way? The very police that they're demonstrating against. So the demonstrators now get their heads kicked in, because that's what happens.
You're in a catch-22.
You're in a catch-22 for one day, because the next day, some of the demonstrators wake up and they say, we're not going to let these cops do it. If they attack us, we'll stop them. Now you've got full-blown riots. Right?
Yeah.
That's what the Republicans are offering you. The potential for full-blown riots on 100 different issues. Once a leadership group arises that says there's no sense getting petitions because nobody reads them, we've got to do something directly.
Yeah. Well, this is Bannonism.
Well, it's Bannonism on the right, but Bannonism on the right means that anti-Bannonism has to have the same form, because there's no effective way to stop it.
Yeah.
When the brown shirts controlled the streets of
Berlin.
Or Vienna, there had to be anti-fascist armed squads to stop them, because there were no police that could stop them. And there were. They weren't strong enough. In the end, they were crushed. But it took several years before that happened. And it really happened in large measure because the anti-fascist forces couldn't believe that the fascists would really do what they said they were going to do. Now we know that they will do what they say they're going to do. But now there's no anti-fascist forces.
Well, that's not what the right wing will tell you. They'll tell you that it's all Antifa that's doing this.
I understand that they'll say that, but that's part of their campaign. If there was really an Antifa doing it, you'd see Antifa, but you don't see them.
Well, it gets back to what I said earlier about redefining reality. You know, there are all sorts of polls out that show that the followers, the Trumpists, believe that the racism does exist, but it's against white people.
Right.
So they've redefined that.
Right.
And, you know, and we're seeing that all along in the various states by some of the laws. And we're seeing it particularly here in Pennsylvania, where we have both a gubernatorial and a senatorial contest going on for the first time in decades, both the governor and the senator are not running for re-election. The governor can't. He's term limited. And when you see the ads that right now, all you're seeing on television are ads from Republicans because they're having this internal fight, mostly as to who can outdo the other on the right wing. But they're bringing up all of these tropes and all of these lines from Donald Trump. And we've got one guy, Dave White, running for governor, an apt name, the way his campaign is being run, saying that, you know, your kids are, and he shows only white kids are being labeled racists. And I will assure that there will be no critical race theory taught in schools, which really means there'll be nothing taught that slavery was bad or racism was bad or anything like that. And it's not being taught in schools. It's just, this is following the Glenn Youngkin model down in Virginia, except it's farther to the right. And then Jay Corman has just come out with an ad. He's the state senator. He's going to run for governor. And he's doing the same thing. They're trying to outdo each other. You see in the Senate race, Mehmet Oz and Dave McCormick going at each other over all these Trumpist lines. Of course, they're using the anti-China, the racist tropes about everything from Asia is bad type of stuff in their ads, labeling each other. And then McCormick goes after Oz for being a Hollywood elitist. And among one of the more stupid plays of the year in politics, Oz went out to Hollywood this week and got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and got himself photographed kissing it. I mean, when they're accusing you of being this, and you go out, you affirm it by your actions.
Well, Trump does that, right?
Sure, he does that, but he can get away with it.
Well, maybe Oz can get away with it. He's also a star.
Yeah, we'll find out. He doesn't seem to be having as much traction. McCormick got the endorsement of Mike Pompeo this week. And we'll see. His wife comes from the Trump administration, Dina Powell.
Well, and doesn't he also have all of the inner circle of the Trump people? He has Stephen Miller writing his speeches. He's got Trump's girlfriend as his advisor. So he's...
Kayleigh McEnany?
No.
I know
it. The young woman who left and went to work for Fox and then came back.
Oh, Tina Perino?
No, these are all one step removed.
Oh, okay. But anyway.
We don't need to know their names. They're interchangeable.
Interchangeable. Yeah. Yeah.
But McCormick has them all. I mean, it's not like McCormick is some corporate guy who's anti-fascist. He's a fascist guy. With the Trump staff behind him, running his campaign for him, against a would-be Trump guy, Oz, who probably won't win.
Yeah, but neither of them has made a big dent with the party insiders in the straw polls that are being done regionally. That's the interesting thing.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter, because if they win, they'll take over the party. There'll be new insiders.
Yeah. I mean, my thoughts are McCormick is the more likely winner in the outcome at this point, but who knows?
But I mean, you don't doubt that if McCormick would win, that they would restructure the Republican State Committee, they would restructure the county committees, and you'd find people, who were rabid neo-fascists running these county committees instead of sleepy, pencil-pushing, corporate, glomming onto, contract-type Republicans, which you've had for the last 100 years.
Right, right.
Yeah. You'd have the Tea Party types.
Yes, the Tea Party. That's it. And
although right now they're busy attacking Asians and blacks, in a heartbeat they'll start attacking gay and lesbian people. They'll attack Jewish people. They'll attack, as communists, any person who's a Democrat. you will discover that you belong on the political bureau. Because yeah, that's their technique. That's what they do.
That's it. This is the playbook going back to the McCarthy era.
Going back to the Mussolini era.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. These people don't have their ideological roots in the Mussolini era or the Hitler era. They so far are not proposing to set up death camps where they will murder 6 or 8 million people. That's not their particular historical evolution. These are new fascists with a new approach, but it's an American approach. It's an approach based on anti-black racism, and therefore racism, which, like COVID, proliferates, spreads, develops new forms. Anti-immigrantism, traditional American racism. Anti-Semitism, traditional American racism. In my area, the Klan existed in the 1920s based on anti-Catholic sentiment.
Oh, sure. Oh, I tell the story there. My grandfather owned a store in Blakely, and the Klan used to march down Second Street where a store was in front of it. The house was behind it. They had a big porch. They used to go to the company field to burn their crosses. And my grandfather was out on the porch watching, and he knew these folks, you know, and they'd yell, don't worry, Nate, we're not after you, meaning that they were out after the Catholics.
Yeah, right. At least not that week.
Yeah, that thing. You know, we had that situation down in Florida this last week where there was the Nazi rallies along the highways and on the overpasses, which, by the way, on the overpasses is illegal, but nobody chose to prosecute these guys with the Heil Hitler salutes. And then we had the anti-Semitic flyers handed out in Miami and Lauderdale and other places, and the same ones that we've seen around the country. And so Ron DeSantis was asked about these things and whether he'd denounce it. And he refused to denounce it. He just turned it into a political screed against Democrats.
Well, there you have it. That's the good old American approach to fascism. Well, how about in Tennessee, where a school board, magnificent Nazi fashion, banned Maus, the picture book, the graphic novel about the experience of the author's family being arrested because they were Jewish in Europe by the fascists, by the Nazis, and going through concentration camps, some surviving, that whole history. The school board banned that book because one of the school board members pointed out it was connected with an organization about which political questions had been raised. The organization he had in mind was the Anti-Defamation League.
Yeah.
If the Anti-Defamation League is an organization about which you can raise questions, then half of the Republican organizations in this country could be having the same questions raised about them, because the Anti-Defamation League is not a left-wing organization.
No. Their director just wrote a book called It Could Happen Here, which you hope proves to be
wrong. Well, my point is, it is happening here.
That's it. It's already...
We're in it. This is how it happens. This is how in America it happens.
Yeah, and they're going even beyond that. You know, they don't want anything taught that makes, and they use the excuse, makes children or people uncomfortable. They have that one law that's being proposed that school teachers can be sued for $10,000 by any parent if there's a complaint that what's being taught goes against their child's deeply held religious beliefs. And that's another, you know, aspect to this that we've talked about in the past, that there is a religious component of a certain view of Christianity that is being sought to be imposed. And we've talked about the Supreme Court justices who have bought into this idea. And there was actually an article not long ago about Amy Coney Barrett in The New Yorker outlining her, you know, how her religion is driving her legal philosophy and opinions.
Well, the religious component to the new fascist drive is central to it, because one of their bases is that we should have religious law governing the country in place of secular law. We should not have a separation of church and state.
Well, you have Josh Mandel, our Jewish guy, running in Ohio for Senate, proposing that exact thing. And he seems to be right now well ahead of J.D. Vance on issues. Whether he'll get the nomination or not, we don't know, but we're seeing that. And as a friend of mine once commented, though, once you make this a religious thing, it's the end of discussion, because you can't get a rational talk about it. People's religious beliefs are not up for rationality.
They're religion is outside of rationality by its own definition.
Yeah.
But the point is, the separation of church and state, that great achievement that comes out of the Enlightenment. That's what ended internal civil wars that plagued Western civilization for nearly 1,000 years. And these people want to bring that back.
Yep.
The Inquisition as the model. Yep. That's what they want to bring back.
And
that's the hallmark of the new fascism. Because the old fascism was a secular movement. Don't forget, fascism was a secular religion.
Oh, yeah.
They made deals with the church, but it was a secular religion that aimed to supplant the church. It used church ritual, church-type ritual, to build support. But it was a secular organization, a secular movement. These new fascists are avowedly religious and want to bring the rule of religion as the rule dominating the state, in the same way that the Muslim fundamentalists want to do it in the Middle East and the Hindu fundamentalists want to do it in India. It's the same thing.
We have that statement that's been attributed to Sinclair Lewis, when fascism comes to America, it'll come waving a flag and carrying a cross.
Yep. And here we have it.
Yeah. What we have to watch this week is what's happening with the truckers in Canada, and whether that movement is going to spread. Again, it's an AstroTurf movement. It's nowhere near the majority. It's a made-up thing. Most truckers
90% of Canadian truckers have been vaccinated. Only 10% have not been vaccinated. This is a minority of that 10%.
Yes.
But they've shut down the American auto industry by blockading the roads that are needed to transport the parts to the factories.
And Fox News is supporting them. And, of course, then when all this hits economically, what they're going to do is blame Biden.
That's right.
And I think that what may be necessary is, if it comes to America, is you don't let it get to the extent that the Canadians have.
Law and order, right?
Yeah.
Law and order is our theme for Lincoln's birthday.
87.
we come to the end of the day of our time.
We'll see what happens this coming week. And
I think this truckers thing is something we'll have to keep our eye on, because it threatens to spill over into the United States, and the Bannon people are doing their best to make that happen.
Right, and then we have the argument over the congressional districts that Mark Elias is arguing for the Democrats, because a judge who it was one of the only judges that ever ruled for Donald Trump, came up with a Republican plan.
In Pennsylvania. Yeah. We got a doozy here. We got some doozies on the bench here.
Well, we'll see you next week.
See you next week. You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.